This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
When some people pray, they use the name of Jesus in almost every sentence. This is most likely to occur when the prayer is asking for a special favor. This might include a prayer to cast out evil spirits, a prayer for healing, or other prayers in which a miracle is being requested. The name of Jesus is seen by some to be almost a magic word. Many believe that the more often that the name is used in prayer, the more powerful the prayer will be. Now, this idea didn't come out of thin air, but it's based on several texts given by Jesus himself. For example, John 14:14, it says, "If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." In John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And in John 16:23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And finally in John 16:24, "Heretofore have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full." There are even other texts that admonish us to pray in the name of Jesus. We need to have a clear understanding of what Jesus meant when he told us to pray in his name. Though it may appear that these texts teach us that the more often we pronounce the name of Jesus in our prayers, the better, yet we must remind ourselves of the counsel that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6:7, where he said, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." In some things, many are more superstitious than they would like to admit. Many are as superstitious as the sick people who lay by the pool of Siloam in the days of Jesus. Folklore had it that when the water in the pool became agitated by what was thought to be an angel, the first person in would be healed. If a person managed to get into the pool and they weren't healed, they would say it was probably because someone got in ahead of them. Superstitious people often make excuses when their superstitions don't seem to work as they claim they would. We get excited when we hear stories about answers to prayer, because just like the sick people that used to lay around the pool, we have a host of problems in our lives that we would like to get rid of. When we don't seem to be getting answers, at least the answers that we would like to our prayers, we begin to wonder if we're using the right words, or if we are invoking them often enough or in the right order. One day a lady asked me what was the secret of getting God to answer prayer. She said her prayers didn't seem to be working. She wanted to know to who we should pray, to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. She said since nothing was happening as a result of her prayers, she figured she must be praying to the wrong person. What did Jesus mean when he tells us to pray in his name? Is it simply a matter of saying his name in just the right places in our prayers? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Now let's suppose, I'm going to give you an illustration. Let's suppose a person has been appointed to be the development officer for a university. Now the primary responsibility of this person is to raise money for the institution. The relationship of the development officer to the university and how he represents the institution to the public is going to help us to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. In the first place, this person has been authorized to do business for the institution. That is, the university administration gives him the authority to represent them in an official capacity. Next, this means the person will be doing business on behalf of the school and not for themselves. Also, the business the person will do must be something the university wants done and has authorized him to do on their behalf. The development officer does not decide for himself what the school wants him to do. The administration will give him specific projects and the guidelines that are to be used as he makes representations for these projects. Also, the representative must make contacts on behalf of the university according to its purposes and programs and for its benefit and not his own. When he collects money, the money that he's authorized to raise, he must turn it over to the school administration and, of course, not put it in his own pocket. If he were to do that, it would be fraud. And finally, any benefits or profits or glory resulting from his work in the name of the university do not belong to him, but to the university. So then, in summary, the development officer is authorized by the university. He is directed by the institution. He is supported by the university. And he is rewarded by the university. Now watch how this works. When we pray in the name of Jesus, it means we must pray by his authorization, which of course he has given. We must let him guide us through his word. Our prayers then must be for his sake and for the progress of his work. As we understand the significance of this, we can see that praying in the name of Jesus rules out all selfish praying. It also excludes all careless praying and all ignorant praying. Praying in the name of Jesus does not mean saying whatever pops into our heads either, although it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayers. That doesn't mean, however, that we should make a habit of praying without thinking. Before we pray, we would do well to think about what we're going to pray about. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray thoughtfully. Have you noticed that sometimes we get into the habit of praying like this? Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer, our Heavenly Father? Or before we go, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Do you hear where I'm coming from? What we're saying is that before we pray, we do well to pause a moment. Probably it's better to say, well, I must go. Before I go, let's have a word of prayer. And then we pause. This gives us a moment or two to prepare our hearts and will mean that we won't be so prone to improvise or to repeat ourselves as we proceed to pray. To pray in the name of Jesus means that we will pray that his kingdom will come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we make specific requests to him in prayer, we will consider how our requests fit into the larger picture of doing his will and bringing glory to his name. There's no such thing as a neutral prayer. Our prayers are either in his interests, that is, to his glory, or they are being prompted by our own interests and desires. A text that has come into popular use lately is the one found in Matthew 18, verse 9. And it says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Not long ago, I was in a prayer group where there were requests for special prayer. When a person made a request, another of the group asked if someone would agree with the request. When someone said they would agree, then the prayer was offered. To pray in the name of Jesus does not diminish the importance of us agreeing together when we pray, but it means that we should be concerned that our mutual requests agree more with his will than with ours. My friend, prayer is much more serious to God than it has been to us. But how thankful I am that he's patient. Now, he doesn't wait to hear our prayers until we pray perfectly. Just like proud parents are so excited to hear the first lisped words of their baby, so our Heavenly Father takes joy in our lisped and imperfect prayers. But as a child grows in their vocabulary and in their pronunciation, so we should be growing in our prayer life. As we grow, we are better able to communicate with our Heavenly Parent. And in doing so, He is better able to communicate an understanding of His Word, which is His will, with us. I hope you'll understand then, from what I've said, that praying in the name of Jesus is not just about saying His name as often as possible in our prayers. It is making sure that our prayers are consistent with all that He stands for and all that He wants us to be. Now, before we close this program, if you don't mind, along the lines of what I've presented, I would like to ask you some personal questions. The first one would be, can you recognize times in which your prayers have been more likely than not to develop your own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God? Another question. What would a selfish prayer look like? Might a selfish prayer not be one in which we're just trying to use the name of Jesus as a key to get God to do our will rather than His? May I make a suggestion or two? The next time someone asks you to pray, instead of beginning immediately, may I suggest that you pause a few minutes? I shouldn't say a few minutes, a few moments, and contemplate what you're about to say. This will capture the thoughts and make your prayer much more meaningful. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing it is to talk to You. Help us to learn how to pray in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information on this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.